This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings. This is Dina Marie of Faith Moments. Welcome to this weekly podcast where we proclaim and ponder on the Sunday Mass readings. We have entered the third Sunday in the season of Easter. Again, this is a season. This is a 50-day feast after we've had these 40 days of Lent, this fasting time, this preparation to look to the resurrection, to look to the resurrection as our hope. As we look to these readings and hear the words, I just want to share with you this scripture from Ezekiel and also a little bit from Genesis to set the stage. The theme that I want to pull from these readings is divine life. But I want you to hear this reading from Ezekiel and maybe tuck it back into your mind as you hear today's readings. This is from Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 9 and 10. It reads, "Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish. For wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Fishermen shall be standing along it from En-Gedi to En-Geliam, spreading their nets there. Its kinds of fish shall be like those of the great sea, very numerous." The word of the Lord. And from Genesis, it says, God said, let the water teem with an abundance of living creatures. So keep that in mind as we hear these readings for the third Sunday of Easter. Let's open with the collect prayer for this Sunday. Let us pray. May your people exult forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope to the rejoicing of the day of resurrection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. And I just want to point out, I think during this Jubilee year that Pope Francis gave us, this time of Jubilee, his final message was hope. And he gives us that message all year. And here we listen in this collect prayer, we may look forward in confident hope. So in this season of Easter, as we hear these readings that are the foundation of our faith, that tell the story of who we are and whose we are, may you have confident hope in the risen Lord. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins.
We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. The Word of the Lord. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever will I give you thanks. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in the like manner, the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen. I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Divine life, fishers of men, the miracles of Jesus, the visitations of Jesus after the resurrection, so much we hear in the Easter accounts. And this whole season of Easter, again, remember, this is a great Bible study of the Acts of the Apostles, because unfolded day after day within these 50 days, we hear these accounts from the Acts of the Apostles. And so today, if we go back to the first reading, we hear from the Acts of the Apostles. Last week, we heard of this miraculous that people were seeking out the apostles, particularly Peter, because he is the leader of the band. And even if the people could get into the shadow of Peter, they believed they would be healed. Demons were being, you know, fleeing from these people. So many miracles that were the miracles attributed to Jesus are now being attributed to those apostles of Jesus, those followers of Jesus. And the sick, the lame, those that are afflicted in any way are seeking out. And just it's a ruckus in the city. And so, of course, not only the government leaders, but the church leaders are wondering, what are we going to do with these people? And so now we have the captain and the court officers again arresting Jesus. If you were listening to some of the readings this past week, we heard the story of Peter and some of the apostles that are in jail. Of course, the angels come, open up the door, and they go back and teach in the temple. And so these leaders just don't know what to do about these new Christians. And so I just want to look at this story again, because of course, remember, Peter and all of the apostles, except for John, we hear that John is standing at the foot of the cross with the Blessed Mother and some of the women when Jesus is being crucified. John didn't flee. He was there caring for Our Lady. And yet the rest of the apostles were these cowards. They were hiding in this temporal life. They were using their own minds and thoughts, and we should probably flee. They weren't thinking about the kingdom come. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is here." They weren't thinking in those terms. They were still thinking of just themselves in this time, in this place. What are the consequences for me right now? I could die. I could be arrested because I'm a follower of Jesus. And so they flee using their own thoughts and wisdom. And so here, they're different. They've encountered the risen Lord. They've encountered the Holy Spirit. And so now when they encounter the rulers of the day who are accusing them of teaching, they don't even use Jesus's name, teaching in that name, the officials say, the Sanhedrin who questioned them, And Peter says, we must obey God rather than men. Now he's using this divine life. Now he's entered into the divine life. It's not just this temporary world that we're in. We are here to be with God forever. And so we need to start thinking and acting in that way, in those terms. So even a lesson we can draw from that word alone from Peter, if there's a law that goes against God's law, like intentional killing of others, let's say, such as euthanasia or abortion or assisted suicide, we must obey God rather than men, rather than laws that disobey God. Peter is so strong on that point. And he says, we are witnesses of these things. And because we are part of one holy Catholic and apostolic church, that apostolic church comes from the apostles, comes from Peter, who was given the keys of the kingdom by Jesus, who started his church. We follow those witnesses of faith. We weren't there 2,000 years ago, but we believe because it's in the scriptures, because it's been passed down from generation to generation through the apostles, the apostolic line, through the bishops, through the shepherds, through the teachers of the church. And Peter is our first hope. We have been witnesses to these things, and now they rejoice. They're not going and cowering like they did at the time of the crucifixion. Now they're actually coming together with the rest of the followers, rejoicing that they were found worthy to be to suffer. They were found worthy eventually to be martyred for the faith, for the sake of the name of Jesus. They rejoice. Now think about the Easter Vigil. I hope you went to the Easter Vigil. And if you didn't go this year, go next year. Put it on your calendar. You can look up Holy Week 2026, Easter Vigil. You just go to your local church, or you go to the cathedral, or you go to a church for their Easter Vigil. And we start in darkness, right? Before God created, it was dark. We hear in Genesis that everything was kind of this void. And then God spoke, and there became light. And then as the Easter candle is lit, and coming from the fire, we hear the story of creation. And Jesus enters in as the light of Christ, and that is chanted through the church as people are lighting candles from the Paschal candle, from the light of Christ. From the light of Christ himself, Christ be our light. Thanks be to God. We're going to get into the darkness and the light a little bit in the gospel, but listen to this in the psalm, which is a beautiful phrase. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Reminding ourselves that we need to be rescued. we are a broken people. We're weak, we're wounded. When the apostles were weak, they were thinking on their own, with their own wisdom that was limited to their own self-preservation, instead of looking to the wisdom of God to lead them. But I will praise you, Lord, because you have rescued me. And it says here, at nightfall, in the dark, weeping enters in. The dark is where we see symbolically in scripture, this is where evil lurks, is in the darkness. When we go into our own little world, when we go into our own little sins in the closet, so to speak, where we think nobody else can see us, whether it's in our own minds, in our own activities, that we think nobody else sees. And that is where Satan will lurk and try to grab you and take you into deeper darkness. But with the dawn comes rejoicing. So we look for the dawn. We look for the light. We look to hang on the light of Christ. I want to just jump to the gospel according to John. We see this account that John gives us of the apostles and of Jesus again revealing himself to the apostles after his death and resurrection. And so before the account or the encounter, Peter says he's going fishing. And listen to this, that he goes at night, accompanied by some of the apostles, and they catch nothing. They're in the night. They're in the darkness. They're in their own little world again. They didn't invite Christ into that. Maybe they're sorrowing. Maybe they're weeping, right? Because we just heard in the psalm, at nightfall, weeping enters in. This is their weeping. At night, they're catching nothing. They are not getting anything unless they combine it, unless they open up and invite and ask the Lord, help me, Lord. Be with me, Lord. Work through me, Lord. Accompany me, Lord. They caught nothing. And then when it was already dawn, here comes rejoicing. Here comes the Lord. And he comes again, not to reprimand, not to condemn in any way these apostles, but he comes to invite them for breakfast. I mean, wouldn't you love to have breakfast with Jesus? I would love that. And what, you know, you don't read here because he says, come have breakfast. And then it says, and when they were finished, so, you know, how long did that breakfast take? Boy, I would make that breakfast last as long as I could to keep talking with Jesus, to ask him questions, to be in his presence. You know, wouldn't you want to have breakfast with Jesus? But he has a charcoal fire. We remember the scene of the charcoal fire when Peter denied Jesus. And so now we have that charcoal fire, maybe as a reconciliation, maybe as a way, as a reminder of come back to me. Turn away from your sins. Repent of your sins. And the Lord even gives Peter three opportunities when he three times denied Jesus to three times profess his love for Jesus. And the Lord Jesus calls this love. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than these? He calls him into service because he's saying, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. You're the shepherd. You were once the sheep. You were wandering far away like a little black sheep caught in the thicket of sin. And so now I am calling you to be a shepherd, to pull those sheep out of the thicket and to put them on the straight and narrow, to defend them, to protect them, to defend them, to feed them, to heal them, bind their wounds. When they've gotten caught in the thickets and they're bleeding and torn, you now, Peter, and the apostles of Peter, the shepherds, you are being charged for the rest of your life to care for my sheep, to feed them the truth, to lead them on a way to light, to heaven, to me, to follow my way, my truth, and my life. And so Peter is being called to be that shepherd. And now wherever you live, you have a shepherd, you have a bishop, you have an archbishop that's there to tend your duties in terms of teaching, in terms of preaching, in terms of guiding, in terms of giving counsel, and to be praying for you. And so what is our response? To pray for our shepherds. Number one, pray for our Pope. At this moment that I'm recording, we're preparing for the election of a new pope, as Pope Francis died on Easter Monday. And so we pray, number one, for the repose of the soul of Pope Francis, and we pray for the conclave. We pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to guide in the election of our next Holy Father. And the final word in this gospel from John is what Jesus calls us to do. He calls Peter to do. He calls all of the shepherds of the church, every bishop of every area, every priest is called to follow Jesus. It says, follow me. And so Jesus is telling Peter, you don't follow your own will. You don't follow what you think is right. You follow me. You've been with me. You've heard my words. You've seen my actions. You've eaten my body. Jesus breaks the bread. He breaks the fish. He brings some of the fish. In fact, he even asks, bring some of those fish that you caught. He's taking our gifts, our charisms, our needs, our wounds, our sufferings, our sin. He's taking things from us. We're giving him ourselves when we give at the Eucharist. You know, we give offerings physically with money, with tithing, with offerings to support the church. We volunteer our hours. We give our prayers and intentions, and we give our repented sins. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm praying for these loved ones. I'm praying for the sick. I'm praying for the poor. I'm praying for those who have no one else to pray for them. I'm praying for the poor souls in purgatory. I'm praying for those that are involved in domestic violence. I'm praying for the evil enemies of the church. I'm praying for them all. We bring that like the fish to the charcoal fire, to Jesus, and Jesus will bless that and redeem that. Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, care for my lambs. That's what we're called to do. In your world, however you can do that, in your family, in your workplace, in your ministry, in your neighborhood. You know, I just think about, we have a certain walk, about a 3-mile walk that we do in our neighborhood. And every once in a while, we come across litter. You know, picking up some litter and getting rid of that, disposing of that, those little tiny acts of kindness for love of the Lord, to stop and enjoy the beauty that God gives us on a spring day with the flowers, with the newborn little baby ducks and little baby geese that are all over our area, just to give thanks for the joy of new life. Do you stop and thank God? Are you grateful for every moment of every day? Let's stop and give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let us pray. O God, your gift of life is abundant beyond all understanding. May we, whom you have called to life in Christ, be willing servants of the gospel, so that we may share with others all that you have given to us in your goodness, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.